Hello, everybody. Today is Friday, December 9th. I'm Bill Murphy here with the Front Pages. I'll be reading from the New York Times and the Hartford Courant. And we'll take a look at the pictures on the front pages of each paper. On the picture on the front page of the Times, a picture of President Biden sitting in his office, the Oval Office, and Kamala Harris, the Vice President, is there. Anthony Blinken is also there, the Secretary of State, and Brittany Griner's wife is sitting there, and they are talking to her from the Oval Office. She may be on the plane coming back. She was freed. I'm going to have that story for you, but a very, very happy picture on the front page of the Times. Over to the Current, another picture of President Biden. He is speaking Wednesday at the National Vigil for All Victims of Gun Violence at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Washington, and he is standing at the podium making a speech. There are people behind him. I believe there are some of the people who either survived the shooting or family members of those who experienced deaths in their family. At the very top, they do identify three people. One is Beth Hegarty. She's and her daughter Jackie, who survived the Sandy Hook shooting. And they are talking with Caitlin and Kamala Gonzalez, who survived the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and their parents, Gladys and Neff. So a very nice get-together of those people. We're going to have that story first from the Hartford Courant, but first we'll go to the Brittany Griner story from Washington. This is on the front page of the New York Times. Brittany Griner, the American basketball star imprisoned in Russia on drug charges, was released on Thursday after nearly 10 months of captivity in a prisoner swap for Victor Bout, that's B-O-U-T, a convicted Russian arms dealer known as the Merchant of Death. President Biden announced her release in a brief statement from the Roosevelt Room of the White House, with Cheryl Griner, Ms. Griner's wife, smiling by his side. Mr. Biden and Ms. Griner said Mr. Griner would be back in the United States within 24 hours. I spoke with Brittany Griner. Mr. Biden said she's safe. She's on a plane. She's on her way home after months of being unjustly detained in Russia, held in intolerable circumstances. He added, Brittany will soon be back in the arms of her loved ones, and she should have been there all along. The release of Ms. Griner, who turned 32 while in custody, was a rare spot in the confrontation between Mr. Biden and Vladimir V. Putin, the president of Russia, over Mr. Putin's invasion of Ukraine earlier this year. Ms. Griner, an all-star center with the WNBA Phoenix Mercury and a two-time Olympic gold medalist, had been serving a 9-year prison sentence that put her at the center of a fraught geopolitical showdown between Washington and Moscow. In February, she was stopped at an airport near Moscow after customs officials found two vape cartridges containing hashish oil in her luggage. Ms. Griner's case became an international cause because she was seen as a hostage held by Mr. Putin's government, as Russia was subjected to international sanctions in response to its invasion of Ukraine a week after her arrest. The Biden administration's efforts to negotiate a prisoner swap stalled for months as she was sent to a penal colony outside of Moscow. Cheryl Griner described her wife's imprisonment as the darkest moments in her life, but thanked Mr. Biden and administration officials for working to secure Mr. and Ms. Griner's release. Today, I'm just standing here overwhelmed with emotion, she said. The cheer inside the White House West Wing Thursday was tempered by the failure to secure the release of Paul Whelan, another American who remained in Russian custody despite months of efforts by U.S. diplomats to include him as part of the deal with the Russians for the exchange with Mr. Bout. Some Republicans, even as they celebrated Ms. Griner's release, criticized the president for exchanging her for Mr. Bout, saying the deal will encourage adversaries to take more Americans hostage. Mr. Whelan, a Marine veteran who later worked as a corporate security executive, was arrested at a Moscow hotel in December 2018 and convicted in June 2020 on espionage charges that the U.S. government says were manufactured. In an email to supporters, David Whalen, Mr. Whalen's brother, said that the Biden administration made the right decision to bring Ms. Greiner home and to make the deal that was possible rather than waiting for one that wasn't going to happen. But he added that, quote, it's clear the U.S. government needs to be more assertive. If bad actors like Russia are going to grab innocent Americans, the U.S. needs a swifter, more direct response and to be prepared in advance, David Whalen said. A senior White House official said Thursday that the Russians made it clear within the last several weeks that the choice of Mr. Biden would be whether to approve a one-for-one swap, Ms. Greiner for Mr. Bout, and that they were unwilling to consider releasing Mr. Whalen. The official who asked not to be named to discuss the negotiations said the president made the difficult decision to proceed. In his remarks at the White House, Mr. Biden pledged to continue working to free Mr. Whalen. Sadly, for totally illegitimate reasons, Russia is treating Paul's case differently than Brittany's, he said. And while we have not yet succeeded in securing Paul's release, we are not giving up. We will never give up. Throughout the summer, American officials were privately angry that Russians refused to discuss the possibility of a swap. In July, Mr. Biden and Secretary of State Antony J. Blinken went public with those frustrations in a move that a senior administration official said Thursday was an attempt to pressure Russia to engage more seriously on a deal. The Russians refused to include Mr. Whalen in the swap because they view him as a spy whose supposed offenses were not equivalent to the others under discussion, but they have not identified anyone else as an appropriate swap for Mr. Whalen, according to Mr. Ryan Fahey, a lawyer representing the Whalen family, which has denied that he was a spy. The Russians don't appear to be expressing what is, either what or who they want, he said, a former counter-espionage official. Mr. Fahey said he was not aware of a similarly situated Russian in American custody who could be traded. It's just not really clear what the resolution is. And we're going to go over now to the Hartford Courant. I'm going to read that story that accompanies the picture that I described at the top of the broadcast about President Biden is speaking at the National Vigil for All Victims of Gun Violence at St. Mark's Cathedral in Washington. The list of names that echoed into the nave of St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Washington on a Wednesday night seemed endless. One by one, a steady stream of people filed through the church, clutching photos of their loved ones who had been killed by gun violence. They each stepped forward. The glow of candles flickered behind them, clutching their photos, and they said, stood solemnly, and the names were said of those who had been murdered: a 14-year-old girl in Parkland, Florida, a 15-year-old boy in Columbine, a 27-year-old man in Aurora, Colorado. Hosted by a Newtown-based gun violence prevention group, the 10th Annual National Vigil for All Victims of Violence drew hundreds to the nation's capital, including President Joe Biden, ahead of the 10-year remembrance of the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School next Wednesday. Biden, who in 2012 met with many of the grief-stricken Sandy Hook families right after the tragedy, said in the decades since, churches such as St. Mark's have opened their doors to more and more souls through gun violence, that rips at the very soul of this nation. He told the families gathered Wednesday that he admires their courage to show up, to remember, and to face the grief he described as feeling like a black hole in the middle of your chest that you're being dragged into. He promised the families he will continue to work to prevent tragedies like the ones they've endured that led to that deep pain. We see you turn pain into purpose, Biden said. Together, we've made significant progress, the most significant gun law passed in 30 years, but it's still not enough. Filling the front row of the church was a strong contingent of Connecticut-based activists who were all brought into the same battle when a gunman tore through the Sandy Hook classrooms. Family members whose children and siblings were killed, several students who survived the Sandy Hook shooting, and activists whose work sprouted from the tragedy that came to their quiet town gathered to make their now loud voices heard. Your voices matter, Biden told them. Jackie Hegarty, 17, stepped on stage Wednesday to introduce the president. She shared her story of survival, having hidden in her second-grade classroom with her terrified 7-year-old friends as gunfire rang out down the hall, killing 20 of her classmates and 6 educators. Hegarty vowed to continue fighting for her friends. For the last decade, our childhoods have been stolen by gun violence, she said. Guns are now the number one killer of children in America, and we are asked to be brave while hiding under our desks and our classrooms, while too many elected officials lack the courage to pass common sense gun laws. Hegarty applauded Biden for passing bipartisan gun prevention legislation earlier this year, an historic moment that also brought Hegarty and other Sandy Hook survivors to Washington to represent their schoolmates who died. Hegarty called the president a champion of gun safety, who she said understands that they have already lost too much. During a meal in the church cafeteria before the vigil began, dozens of people from Alaska to Aurora, Parkland, and Newtown shared their stories and in the grief that everyone in the room knew all too well. Both Hegarty, Jackie's mother, shook hands. Beth Hegarty, rather, Jackie's mother, shook hands with Gladys Gonzalez, whose daughters Caitlin and Camilla Gonzalez survived the May 24 shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, though Caitlin's best friends did not. The mother shared a soft handshake and knowing look that their daughters had both walked into school one day as children and walked out survivors. At a table nearby, Sandy Hook survivor Marie Therese Morosky talked with Tom Sullivan, whose son Alex was killed on his 27th birthday at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado on July 20th, 2012, along with 12 others. Many said the gathering, held every December since the tragedy at Sandy Hook, is a cathartic yet emotional part of their lifelong grief. For many, there's comfort in knowing they aren't alone in the pain that sometimes feels as if it can't be survived. Others simply wish they didn't have to be there, didn't have to ever meet the people with whom they now share these sorrowful spaces. Kimberly Rubio, whose daughter Alexandra Lexi was killed in Uvalde, brought a group of Sandy Hook survivors to tears as she spoke of her daughter. In the dimly lit church, Rubio said that Lexi was the light of their lives. Never has that been more obvious than in the darkness, Rubio said. Tears fell from her and her husband Felix's eyes as she said that lately she feels numb, as if she is operating on fumes. Rubio said she started to see her daughter next to her in the stands at her son's basketball games or in the rows of church that night. She said she could not, she could picture her daughter there holding a candle, giving me a shy smile and the mention of her name. Another mother and father from Uvalde sat behind Hegarty, weeping and choking back heavy sobs as they held photos of their daughter, Jackie Cazares. Their memories will never fade, and our voices will continue to be heard, said Nicole Melichiano, a Sandy Hook survivor who was one of the last to speak out at the vigil. This is not the world we want to live in, and we have the power and the right to change it, she said. And we are going to, let me just read the caption here, a little bit of a, it's underneath the picture that I described. I didn't get to read this. It says, Poe Murray, coach, founder, and chairwoman of the Newtown Action Alliance, said they will continue to gather in spaces where people are paying attention. They will continue to tell their stories 10 years later to help fight for change. Their mission, she said, is to honor the dead with action. And there's a little banner here. It says, turning words into laws. And it says Sandy Hook 10-year remembrance.